Like to give you a little Franciscan greeting that we do a lot with our with many of our retreats and youth work, and that is simply I don't know if you know this, God is good, and then we respond all the time. So let's try that. God is good.
All the time.
Now here's a trick one. I say all the time. Oh, very good. Okay, let's try one more time. God is good, and all the time. Father Matthew's good. I know he goes to confession, right? I mean, most of the time, majority, 99%, okay? It's good to be with all of you, and God is very, very good. He's very good in my life and in yours, and to bring us together this week and in this parish as we begin our parish mission, really with all the masses this week. And I'll mention a few words about the parish mission in just a minute, but I just thought I'd give you a little introduction about who these Franciscans are. Oftentimes we get mistaken for, well, all sorts of things, Jedi Knights. A bunch of us happened to go to the movies when one of the Lord of the Rings was coming out, so people actually thought we were, you know, original members of the Lord of the Rings. A guy stopped me one time, asked me if I was part of a karate team, because you just don't see, like, Brother Joachim's down here in the gray hat, but you just don't see it that much. I said, no, I'm Franciscan, but I do know karate. Watch out. It's something that people, I suppose they saw religious witness, especially among men, times ago, right? And so a religious consecrated person in the church, even a priest, they have a little bit of a different charism than, say, the pastor of your parish, a diocesan priest. Very much their life is given over to witness to the world and to go through the world. So us Franciscans, that is what we do. Brother Joachim came from New Mexico. I came from Memphis, Tennessee, yesterday through Houston and Dallas. I did a bit of a traveling to get here and then started off in New York City and then heading back there. But very much the life of religious and Franciscans is very, very witness-based. And I'll mention that to you a little bit here in a second with our mission, with our parish mission coming up. Our Franciscan community was started in 1987, and our community came from the same one as St. Padre Pio. Have you heard of St. Padre Pio? Like the guy with the most miracles ever, right, in the church. So he was a particular Capuchin Franciscan, and that's where our community comes from. And the Capuchins were really noted for two things. They were noted for working with the poor. And so that's what our first work that our community does. We live in poor areas, New York City, Albuquerque, even Fort Worth, Central America, the UK. We live in very poor areas. I'm right in the Bronx there, in Bronx, New York. Not from the Bronx, but I live in the Bronx. And we work and live and shoulder to shoulder with the poor, many different ways, from feeding them to hospitality to homeless shelters, working with the youth. In the projects in the poor areas. And the second area, I would say, is evangelization. And really that is giving telling others what God has really done in our life. Many of the brothers from my community, some of which Father Matthew knows, a lot of us had a similar experience to St. Francis of Assisi. You know, St. Francis of Assisi lived in the 1200s, and he grew up in a very... Well, it was a mountain village back then, a mountain town, but he was very, very wealthy. And he really was probably, I'm going to guess, what John Paul II would call, St. John Paul II, a practical atheist. He was a good guy. He was generous, but he was wealthy. He was like Bill Gates' son. You know, his father was very, very wealthy. And it was through a number of experiences, one specifically, that he was walking by a run-down church one day, down in the valley, down from the town of Assisi, in a run-down little chapel. And there was a cross there, what they call the San Damiano cross, life-size cross. It was more of an icon than a crucifix that we're used to seeing. And he knelt down, and the cross spoke to him. So Jesus spoke to St. Francis. Now, for any of you who come into church and Jesus speaks to you from the cross, my advice would be keep it to yourself, okay, right? But this cross, truly, Jesus spoke to Francis, and he heard the words, these words, "Go repair my church." So we had the good idea of making up these little nice postcards that you probably got in the mail, right? And that are at the church, and that'll be the theme of our mission, "Go repair my church." Well, in the beginning, St. Francis thought, well, okay, yes, it's a broken down, run down chapel. There's weeds growing up. There's no ceiling. All the windows are broken. So he began to kind of beg and to borrow rocks and mortar and glass and build and put this church back together. You can actually see the very church that St. Francis put back together. And then later he realized something. Well, it may have been true to rebuild that one church, but what the Lord was talking about was rebuilding something greater. Who, really, what is the church? The people of God. So to repair, if you will, to repair peoples and nations and marriages and families and priesthood, there were many, many of the same problems that we have, even to the so much to the point of tensions with Muslims, right? And Francis believed that this was became a mission for him. So much so, he went with another brother. He went, can you imagine, going to the head of ISIS, whoever that is, I don't know. Francis went to the head of the Sultan there with another brother, and he was preaching Christ to this Sultan. And the guy was so taken aback by St. Francis that he actually listened to him. And he was so taken with him, of course, he couldn't convert, but he said, "St. Francis, you know, I really loved what you have to say. Your brothers are welcome in the Holy Land." And that's how the Franciscans have been in the Holy Land for 800 years. St. Francis started out on this mission, and for 800 years, the Franciscan family, of which Brother Joachim and I are part of, we travel and we give witness to what God has done in our life. And I can say that Brother Joachim and I, the last thing that we ever wanted to do with our life was what? Be a Franciscan. It was the very, very last. Matter of fact, when I was an altar boy, I was 10 years old, and the priest came out after Mass and said to my, I was David back then, he said, "David, have you ever thought about being a priest?" Well, I didn't know what to say. So he went back into the sacristy, and I made my first heartfelt prayer to God. "God, never make me a priest," right? Well, God hears our prayers, right? And I'm sure he heard that one very, very, very loud and clear. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? Well, God has beautiful things in store for us. Well, we find ourselves in the time of Lent. And Lent, traditionally, for those of you may remember, is always a time for a mission. Not like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible 1, 2, 3, or whatever the next one is, right? It was time for a mission. And really what that was, the church community, the parish, kind of like a tent revival of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they would kind of shut down everything. No bingo, right? No extracurricular activities. Everybody would come together as the parish family and pray. And the pastor would invite in a Dominican or a Jesuit or a Franciscan, someone to lead the mission, to lead the prayers. And there'd be different themes every night. And it's a real time of grace. You know, yeah, so we recognize, you know, much of our life, and I'm from New York City, so I know this very well, it's such a frenetic pace. We have a lot of important things, truly, that we need to do and responsibilities. But the church gives us this time of Lent, symbolic of purple, in a way to say, let's slow down and let's remember our priorities in life. So we have our mission that's going to, starts off tonight with the Mass, but tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Monday night, 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, the theme is how St. Francis prayed. You know, in our gospel today, of the cleansing of the temple. You know, oftentimes, I grew up, I don't know about what you, I grew up in the 70s, all right, so that'll tell you a little bit about, I had bad clothes, okay, I couldn't dress, you know, color coordinate yourself in the 70s, but I had this idea of Jesus that he was like taking care of Bambi in some meadow some way. You know, this is the nice Jesus. The picture we get here is a very, very different picture of our Lord. We see an anger, a righteous anger, well up from his heart. Why? It's because the very, very place that was supposed to be given over to worship, the first commandment, making God number one in my life, was actually being broken by another commandment, thou shalt not steal. The poor were being robbed. That's why he said he didn't like anybody, the selling thing going on, but he said this specifically to the people selling the doves. The doves were what the poor people could only afford with their few pennies. So he singled them out. Church, our souls are meant first and foremost to be a place of prayer. So that'll be our theme for Monday or Sunday. Monday, confession night. Confession night can often sound like, well, why don't we go to the mission on Monday night? It's confession night. Or we could go to the dentist and have a root canal. What should we do? Right? Because confession is one of those things where, I don't know if you haven't been there in a while, it can, like, beads of sweat can come down a little bit, right? This is how Brother Joachim and I explain confession. On Fridays, matter of fact, I think next Friday is one of my days, we get to hear confessions, the priests of my community, at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, in Manhattan, right on 51st Street and 5th Ave, between 5th and Madison. And, you know, all sorts of people, Catholic and non-Catholic, come in the confessional door. All sorts of people and stories and how they're visiting from wherever in the world. Well, we kind of came up with this kind of formula that people who kind of come in the confessional, it's like, Father, bless me, for I have sinned. It's been 2 weeks. So Brother Joachim and I love fishing, so we liken that to like maybe a little goldfish. All right, a little goldfish came. If you liken God's fishing for the sinner. We sometimes hear, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 1 year. Well, that might be like a smallmouth bass. All right, now we're moving up the food chain. Bless me, Father, it's been 5 years. Nice rainbow trout right there, right? Bless me, Father, it's been 25 years. Now we're going deep sea fishing, all right? That's like a marlin. One time one of our friars was hearing confessions. The guy came in, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, it's been 50 years. And the friar said he heard off in the distance, there she blows, right? The great whale, right? So God can... You know, God said, I will make you fishers of men. But one of the ways, right, that he gave to the church to fish all of us back, because we all fall away, every one of us, right? We don't leave our fallen human nature at the door. Concupiscence, the effects of original sin, stay with us all. Therefore, we all need to make frequent use of that great gift, the sacrament. And whether it's 50 years or 50 days, right, in one way it doesn't matter. So Monday night will be confession night. And to know that, too, that confession not only is just between me and God, but between my spouses, my parish, my brothers and sisters, it affects everybody. And finally, Tuesday night, we'll end our mission with the healing night. And we know, we recognize that sin really divides, and it divides us not only internally, but it can divide us in so many other ways. One of those effects, right? Adam and Eve, all right, God blew the whistle, everybody out of the pool, everyone's out of the Garden of Eden, and he says there's going to be these four breaks, you know, between creation, between men and women, between flesh and soul, and then, of course, the division between us and God. And Jesus was sent. God so loved the world, he gave his only son to heal these things, to heal our bodily ailments, to heal marriages, to heal priesthood, to heal the church. Like Francis saw this, go repair, go heal, be a healing agent. And so Tuesday night, especially if you want to tell your friends, especially those who really are in need of healing in any way, encourage you to come Tuesday night for that mission. So prayer, the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, repairing, and that healing. These will be the themes of our mission possible, right? Of go repair my church. And ultimately, I leave you with this. What does the Lord desire for our life? Yes, happiness. Those of you who learned the Baltimore Catechism, you can quote it better than me, right? Why did God make us, right? To know, love, and serve him in this life so that we can be happy with him in the next. God's gift of joy, which Pope Francis has the poster, the first thing you see when you come in this church, the joy of the gospel. He's calling us on to have this joy within us, the living the fullness of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? I repent of my sinfulness, and I become a missionary of this joy. God desires us to be happy, to be joy, to have this peace, even amidst sufferings, even amidst trials, even amidst the brokenness of our chapels sometimes. And the Lord wishes to come and cleanse this temple, and sometimes it's not easy. And our homeless residents of St. Anthony's Shelter, Homeless Shelter of Men, in New York, in the South Bronx, of which Brother Joachim used to work, I've worked. Brother Joachim used to, by the way, used to run the program for all the youth and the projects of the South Bronx. We will tell you, it's not easy dealing with addicts and addictions. We run the 12-step program. It is, in a way, it is not a Bambi procedure, right? It's tough love. But the Lord desires that for our life, to cleanse us from those things that weigh us down, to cleanse us from the sins that hinder us from a fullness of life in the Holy Spirit. This is my prayer, and Brother Joachim's prayer for you and your families. If you can't make it all three nights, that's okay. If you can, wonderful. 7 to 8:30, we'll have a time of adoration, of music, of prayer. And I really encourage you to make one or a few of the nights. And, you know, oftentimes the Lord does wish to give you, I think, especially during the mission, a certain grace, for priests included. Perhaps the mission happens for the priests. You never really know. There are graces to be had, and the Lord desires that to give to us, a grace in our life that we need, in a trial, in a darkness, in a suffering, or whatever, an answer. Lord, what college do you want me to go to next year? I'm graduating soon, right? Whatever the answers, the Lord desires to give to us these graces. So I encourage you, and my prayers will be with you for this weekend. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.